Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you here with us today. It is a beautiful day here in North Dakota. It's not really bad out there, probably about 20 below. Not bad.
I didn't look to see even.
And
23 with a real feel of 34 below.
It's not bad at all. Not bad at all. And, you know, you should come here sometime and just try it out once. Now, we don't recommend you come when we're getting 2 feet of snow and there's an 80-mile-an-hour wind. And, you know, don't come on that day. But those days are few. They're not a lot. Anyways.
And it's always beautiful.
And it's always beautiful. And cloud, no clouds in that sky. Perfectly blue. And if you had the courage to drive to the National Park today and see the buffaloes, they're all standing there in great power and authority, just as if nothing's going on. And you look at God, it created these beautiful creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize
nature
itself. Welcome, YouTube. Good to have you with us. When you look at God's beautiful creatures on this earth, right out there on that porch, there's a railing around our deck. And right now there's about 30 sparrows sitting on it right there. You can see it. Now you got this little tiny sparrow. He's about this big. With all of his feathers.
Yeah.
Right. Then you go down there to the national park and you have this huge bison. So you and I can, in our intellectual brain, say, well, yeah, the huge bison's got enough wool, hide, hair, you know, whatever you call it. He's got enough of that on him. He can just lay down in the snow and it not have any effect on him. How in the world do those little sparrows have enough in that little tiny body? I mean, a sparrow can fit through a hole that small.
Yeah, it's tiny.
How in the world does God do that and keep that little sparrow warm? See, that's what Romans chapter 1 tells you. Nature itself will teach you the reality of who God is. Nature itself. When you stand before God Almighty, when you and I stand before God Almighty someday, we're going to stand before the greatest judge there ever was, God of the heaven and the earth. There's going to be millions, probably billions of people who will be judged, and you'll say, did you see the sun? Yeah, how'd you get up there? Don't know. You think any man on the face of the earth could have put it up there? No. Well, that means there's a force beyond who you are. Yes. Then why didn't you believe in it? You're going to be judged by that. So I'm going to say it again, even though it may sound like I'm a broken record, but many of you don't know what that means. You have to be older than 50 probably to know what a broken record means, right?
Yeah.
The little needle would be on that big 33 LP and it'd be going and there'd be a scratch and it'd go back to the beginning. Yeah, you know, it'd slide right back to the beginning. You may not understand church and religiosity. Please understand God. Pastor, how am I going to understand God unless I go to church and listen to a preacher? Well, that's true. But if you have a real preacher, a man or woman of God who is led by God, they're going to tell you, hey, thank you that you trust me. I'm telling you the truth. But when you go home, open up your Bible and examine it to see if it's really the truth. That's why people are going to be led into error in the last days. Why? Because they didn't open up the book themselves and say, wait a minute, what does this book actually say? What does this book actually say? And so I just encourage you, come and walk with us as we walk with God. And we're going to see, you and I are going to see God transform our lives beyond anything that you may have ever dreamed or thought growing up as a kid. How many ever laid in the yard and looked up at the sky and said, why am I here? Who's in that jet? That's always who I was. I was like, who is that? Why is it not me?
And just the enormity of it all.
Go out at night and you see the beautiful stars out there just twinkling in the far reaches of space. And
that's always what I was.
Wow,
like,
slow this guy down. He's real loud here. There we go. Getting all of our technology up. Thank God. Thank God for his wonderful mercy, his love, and his grace. And, we're excited about this year. 2024, the year of the open door, which leads to the abundance of more.
Hallelujah.
That's our theme. That's our theme for this whole year. And then his statement to us was, excuse me, almost got it. And then his statement to us was, stop distractions at the door. Run like you've never run before. And get up and dance on the dance floor. Victory is yours for sure. Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door which no man shuts. I know your works. Just raise your right hand and say, thank you, Father, you know my works.
Thank you, Father, you know my works.
So some people are like, Pastor, I'm not putting my hands up. I'm going to be a lightning rod. Wait.
Then you need to fix me.
Learn about the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and then your works are going to be right with God. He said, see, I've set before you an open door. No one can shut it. You have a little strength. You have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Some of you have been so confused about church and religion that you haven't been to church in a long time. But listen, you have kept his word, and you have not denied his name. Now remember, God will send you a pastor. God will send you a church. He'll send you to a place. But that's not necessarily the very first thing he does. First thing he does is he wants you to understand him, that he's going to give you Jesus' blood and righteousness, wipe all your sinful past away, and then desire to walk with you every day. So, you're going to hear me say this every day till Jesus comes. Quit being all freaked out about church, pastors, and religion. If you will just say, for the next 3 weeks, I'm just going to walk with God every single day. I'm going to get up and say, God, help me be what you want me to be today. He's going to help you to become something you never even knew you could be.
Amen.
And you know what? He will eventually lead you to a body of believers where you belong. Will lead you. Who am I to tell you? Well, don't you believe you should be everybody's pastor? No. 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 I might be a prophetic voice, an apostolic voice, a teaching voice, prophetic voice, pastoral voice in people's life. But I won't pastor everybody. Am I saying that confusingly, or does that make sense? We are my only congregation, so you have to say amen.
Yes, it made sense. No, it wasn't confusing.
Now, all right, so she's not my only congregation. She's just the only one that's here with the voice.
You can see.
I mean, Ripley could say amen, but if Ripley starts saying amen, I'm checking to see if there's an angel somewhere close. That means somebody wasn't listening, right?
Amen.
Now, so today, what are we going to do about today? The faithful God who keeps covenant. Today's faithful God who keeps covenant. This is a great, great, great teaching. Well, it's not a great teaching. It's a great principle of the kingdom of God. And it's the greatest understanding of God. He is the faithful God. He's full of faith, and he's faithful to that. And he's faithful to a covenant that he made with you and me so that we live our life by covenant. We live our life by a covenant. And he's going to keep his part of the covenant, and we're going to keep our part of the covenant, and we're going to walk with God, and it's going to be great. So let's grab a couple of verses. Let's do this first of all. Let's hold our Bible up and make our confession. Huh. We're getting good at this. We're getting gooder and gooder.
Gooder and gooder.
Here we go. Hold your Bible up. Make this together with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God's word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
The Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of God.
My resident teacher.
My resident teacher. Is making this
come alive in my life
today.
Come alive
in my life today.
I receive the word of God.
I receive the word of God.
And plant him as a seed.
And plant him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of
producing
my heart.
100-fold return and more. In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Just keep reading this. Read this with me. I am a spirit. I am in direct communion with God, my Father. This is my mind. No one tells me what I believe. Body, line up with the word of God and serve me perfectly all the days of my existence on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And I can hear people saying, Pastor, do you like really believe that? Yeah, no, I don't. I not only believe it, I know it. I know that's how this works. Because what makes it work is God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's... We've taught that over and over and over again. And then it says that God is seeking those. Say this, God's seeking me.
God is seeking me.
God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's what we're teaching you to do here. Professor, it seems like when you say worship, that means I should always have to be like this. No, the greatest form of worship is living a life where you seek his will and presence in every part of your life all day long and everything you do. The greatest form of worship is a life that is given to walk with him. That's the worship. Jesus wasn't saying to the woman at the well, I need you to follow me around every day and be bowed before me with your hands crossed. And we'll have somebody put you on a little cart and you can just be pulled along behind me so you're always in worship me. You see, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a life where you and I live every day and every minute of the day saying, God, let me do this. And I love it. You know why? Because since God is a spirit and he's come to live in here, that means he's going to lead you by your spirit. That's far above all this earthly stuff that you see. I mean, somebody can walk up and you're like, something wrong with that guy. Why? Because you're some great intellectual being? No. Your spirit man said, there's something wrong with that person's spirit. Stay away from it. Why? Because you're being led by the greatest spirit of there ever could be, God Almighty, and he lives inside of you. He's not leading you from the throne, beating it down on top of your thick skull like your mom or grandma always said. I could never get anything through your thick skull. No, he's leading you from the inside out this way. And just by natural inclination, you just wake up and say, today I need to go do this. And you'll do it. And you'll be like, whoa, that door opened wide up. Why? Because he set before you an open door no man can shut. But see, he's not leading you by a club and a stick and this hard line saying, if you don't make this move today, that's it. It's all done. It's all over. I mean, church and religion has taught us that, but that ain't God. God is going to lead you like a shepherd. Shepherd walks in front of the sheep. Shepherd doesn't drive the sheep. Why? The sheep don't know where to go. Shepherd's got to be out front leading them. Now, in the day we live, they get a sheep dog and he herds them around. And he can force a group of sheep to be where he wants them to be because he's chasing them. That's not God's plan for you and I. He said he'll gently lead those who are with young. And so there we go. Now, let me grab another verse before we get to our main verses for today. So that first verse was John 4 that I was referring to, where it said Jesus, the Father is seeking those who would worship him. That's John 4, 21 through 26. John 4, 21 through 26. Good morning, Audrey. Good to have you with us today. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 11. And let's read 11 and 12. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, greater than John the Baptist. Well, now that sounds like Jesus talking out of both sides of his mouth there. Wait a minute. There's no one greater, but anybody that is, he is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Follow this. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. Watch this. When you read it in the Amplified Classic, it says, as, take it by force, as a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. So what's the violent? The violent is you and I saying, nothing is going to stand in my way. I am going to break through every barrier and walk with God. Want to say it with me? Just say it out loud. I'm going to break through every barrier.
I'm going to break through every barrier.
And walk close with God, my Father.
And walk close with God, my Father.
See, there's a lot of people that's like, well, Pastor, I don't mind. I'll be religious. Greatest judgment's ever going to happen is against us preachers on the day of judgment in eternity, because we sat here before this screen and we look as though we're some great astute biblical scholar leading us, because the Holy Spirit is flowing through us, giving us instruction, and then we turn off the camera and never study the Bible. When I sit here, Holy Spirit of God is flowing through me, and he's going to give me exactly what I need to say for each one of you that are listening and those who will come in the future. However, it has the effect of, wow, this man's really studied. No, this man knows how to hear the voice of God and speak it here. I've come to that understanding. When this camera goes off, I've got to pick up my own Bible and study it. I got to get out my own tools, my e-sword, my notepad, I use Bible Hub. When I don't know where a verse is, I go to Bible Hub, and there it is. I got to dig out this word of God for myself. That's why you guys hear me say all the time when I'm driving at night, man, I went through 18 chapters or whatever, you know, like the other night. The other night, I did the whole book of Job and 18 chapters of Genesis. Wait, I don't want to attaboy. I don't want you to go ooh or ah. I just want you to know, wait a minute. Every one of us got to do this ourselves. You've got to walk with God yourself. If you're not studying the Bible, you're going to stand before God someday and give an account if you're listening to his word and studying his word. And there will be nobody on that day that can say about you or to you or anything. God's just going to open up your book and say, what was you doing on this day? Now, here's the great thing about God. He's not in heaven with a club saying, you didn't study for 1 hour and 32 minutes. No, he's just going to continue to lead you into the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And what's that mean? That means you got to lay down in your bed and go to sleep, whether it's daylight or dark. And you're going to wake up when you get done sleeping, and it's up to you to say, wait, before I start my day, I'm going to sit in my chair. I'm going to sit at my desk. I'm going to go to my table. I'm going to, whatever it is you do, and then open up this book and say, Father, help this book come alive to me. To me. I got revelation. I believe Matthew chapter 13. Yes. He's given it unto me to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I'll be like Brother Terry Mize. You hear that ear? Listen, it's the word of God. Well, what? You can't put your head up against the Bible and get it. The point is this. You got to get severe with yourself, saying you got to get this book inside of you, because we're going to stand on the other side and give an account of this. And you're going to want to know that every day on this earth, you walk with God. Some days he's going to tell you, you need to listen to these messages by this person, and you need to find this out. You're going to mark these days like this on this calendar. You mean, this is a great teaching. Mark it right on your calendar, right there on the side of the wall. And mark which program it was. It was the prayer program. It was the night program. It was our Sunday program. Mark it right there on your calendar. And then you'll be able to go back at the calendar and you'll say, oh, yeah, God said this to me on that day. And you'll turn that back on. You'll go to YouTube and search up my name and that date. Bam, there will be the message. And you'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah. And then God will begin to speak to you and instruct you. See, Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let's get this read, and then we'll keep going on teaching. Deuteronomy chapter 7. This is Moses giving the children of Israel the law, okay? The book of Deuteronomy, that's what that's all about. And I asked one time, we had our district attorney here in Williston was a Jewish man, and he was of the tribe of Benjamin. Who was he? He was a Levite.
Mm-hmm.
And traced his lineage back, 3,000 years. And I picked him up in the lift car one day, and I asked him who it was, and he told me. I'm like, he's the DA, and he was going to the airport. I'm like, wow. I'm like, how'd you get here? And so he starts telling me his story, and he tells me he's of the tribe of Levi. I'm like, whoa, man. I said, all right. You know more by the nature of who you are than I would even know by study, because you're a true Jewish person. Well, I said, give me a piece of advice. He said, read the book of Deuteronomy backwards. I'm like, well, that's interesting. He said, because Moses, on the end of his life, he wrote it and he read the book. So he said, read it backwards. And you're going to see God's nature in all of that. This is God giving the children of Israel the law of what was going to happen when Joshua took them into that promised land. And so chapter 6, he's talking about the greatest commandment. Which is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That was even the case back in the children of Israel's day. When you really think about what God was saying, that's what he was saying. Because if you keep those two commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, you will automatically keep all 10 commandments. Because you'll never violate anybody else. Never once. You'll love and honor your mom and your dad. You'll take care of everybody around you. You'll have no other gods before you. You won't covet anything that doesn't belong to you. Which means you won't steal. So it's all wrapped up in those commandments. And that's chapter 6. Here we go to chapter 7, a chosen people. All right? You can also find this in Exodus chapter 34. Here we go. Let's just read it. I'm just going to read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 26. Why? Because it's just as good for you and I to hear what the word of God says to us. Let's let the word teach us.
Amen.
Here we go. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, here's the people that are still there plaguing Israel, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. God told them they were a mightier nation. And when the Lord God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them.
Amen.
So we just pause for a minute. Let it sink in. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Why? They didn't have a nation. They were wicked, perverse, vile, reprobate people. They murdered their own children. You give birth to children for no other reason than to sacrifice it to a god. That's perverse. These people don't want anything out of Israel. They just don't want them there. We're just going to annihilate you. That's wicked. That's perverse. That's perverse. Three, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, take their daughter for your son. They'll turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. And then the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images, and burn their carved images with fire. Why? Because if you left that in the land, people are going to turn and go toward it. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. Well, Pastor, if this is what God's saying to Israel, why are you reading it? Because God said about Abraham, in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And then you go to the book of Galatians and the book of Romans, and we're taught that Abraham believed God and it was counted to righteousness. You and I, because of Abraham's faith, we now believe God and become the sons of Abraham. So everything God's saying to the children of Israel here, he's saying to you and me. This is our covenant as much as it's their covenant. If we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and have become saved, because we believe, we are now made into the righteousness of God. And by faith, we become the children of Abraham. That's an amazing deal, isn't it?
That is amazing.
Verse 6 again. You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. That's why the whole world can be against Israel right now, and they're just going strong. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you are more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand, here's the word, and redeemed you. What's that mean? Bought with a price. What's the price you and I were bought with? The blood of Jesus. He's redeemed us. That means he bought us back from sin with the blood of Jesus. And that blood is now our empowering force for every part of our life. Brought you out of the mighty hand, redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And that word redemption is not just that they were delivered from Egypt, plundered Egypt with his people, and took a group of 1 to 4 million slaves and made them a nation in one night. Give them all their foundry things they needed. Give them all the carts and horses and oxen and gold and silver and fine jewels and clothing. What? He plundered Egypt and made them a nation in one night. Well, Pastor, yeah, just read the Bible. Therefore, verse 9, know that the Lord your God, he is God. Look what this says. The faithful God who keeps covenant and keeps mercy thousand generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. Do you love God? Do you want to serve God every day? Do you want to walk with God every day? Then he's showing mercy to thousands. He's showing mercy to thousands. Say it with me. Thank you, God, for your mercy.
Thank you, God, for
your mercy. Verse 10, he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Don't hate God. Don't hate God. How do you say it more simply than that? Don't hate God. Don't hate his ways. Listen, you might not understand all his folks, but don't hate his folks. Listening, we heard several messages this morning before we get on, because we always like to listen to Dr. Winston, and then we go to church with Dr. Barkley. And then there's always a period of time when we got a little bit extra. And so we had another message we was listening to today. Think about this thought. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? What are they saying? What is the result of what they're saying? Are they filled with love or are they filled with bitterness? You have to just let that sit for a minute. Why? Because if they're filled with bitterness, they're going to hate you or they're going to hate somebody and they're going to do their best to put hatred for that person, that group, on you. You don't have to be told to stay away from those people. You know it's wrong to be with those people. Don't be with somebody who's bitter. Don't hate God. Don't hate his people. Don't hate his building called the church. He's coming back for a glorious church. So you can't hate the church. If you hate the church, then when he comes back, guess who ain't going? The person who hates the church. Wait, see, it's not difficult to see. We just have to get, we got to let Revelation get all the way down deep inside till we come to an understanding. Now, you may not understand the church. You may not like the churches in your community. You may not. But it doesn't matter. You may not like preachers who pastor churches and they have jets. You might not like preachers who pastor churches and have a nice house. You may think every preacher's got to be broke, busted, and disgusted to prove his humility to God and take a poverty oath. Listen, quit worrying about all that stuff. Get your nose in this book and say, God, who are you to me? Help me see you. Why? Every word you say. Think about this. He repays those. Verse 10. He repays those who hate him to their face. Think about it. Do you want God repaying you hatred and bitterness? How many people say you can't trust the church? Well, no. You might not be able to trust those people down the street in that building on the one corner down there. They might be weird. There's some people that are really weird. All right? And if people don't have an outside influence coming into the church to help everybody in that building realize, wait, we're kind of a little weird here. That guy just preached a good message. And we're kind of way out on this ditch over here or way over there. Well, that's why God gave the fivefold ministry, the pastor, the prophet, the evangelist, the apostle, and the teacher. Why? Because you, the pastor, is going to take care of them. But bring in a prophet because he's going to say, why are you doing this? Going to put his thumb on something. Bring in an apostle. Somebody's going to point a finger and say, we got to go here. We got to do that. Bring a teacher that says line upon line, precept upon precept. Why? Because it brings balance to your ministry. Then you're not left ditch. Then you're not in the right ditch. When you say, I hate the church, you just said you hate Jesus. Because the church is his body. The church is the fullness of him who fills all in all. You can't say I hate the church because you're going to talk against the body of Christ and against Jesus himself. You might say, Pastor, I never heard anybody teach this before. I know. I don't even know that I've ever taught this from this point of view before. I'm just getting a whole series of messages I got to teach right now. Why? Because there's a whole group of people that's like, well, I can be a Christian and walk with God. But I am not going to have anything to do with the church. Ready? Let's get the balance on what I'm saying. You might not have anything to do with that building down there. You can't separate yourself from the body of Christ, which is the fullness of him who fills all in all. How in the world are you getting all this out of the Old Testament, Pastor? Because the Old Testament always points us to the New Testament. The Old Testament is the base. The Old Testament is the foundation. and the New Testament is built on the law and the prophets. Jesus said, all the New Testament hangs on the law and the prophets. You can't separate the two. And what's the two commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I'm really going to get all 26 verses read.
Right.
It's good teaching, though,
isn't
it?
It is good, yeah.
Therefore shall keep the commandment. I'm in verse 11. The statutes, judgment, which I command you today to observe them. It shall come to pass when you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep you. That the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. Who's our father? Abraham. And he will love you. And he will bless you. And he will multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your land, your grain, your new wine, your oil, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flock, and the land which he swore to your fathers to give you. What did God just say? I am going to bless everything you set your hand to.
Thank you, Lord.
14, you shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. Now, livestock in that day was their business. That was their finance, their money. Well, what's ours? Well, it doesn't matter. If it's your job, God's going to set you by. Did you hear Dr. Barclay say that about the one girl in his church, one young lady in his church? Got a note from one of the young ladies in the church this morning. She said, guess what, Pastor? Out of 8,000 employees where I work, I was just elected as the most determined to change and grow and develop myself.
Wow.
Out of 8,000 people in this company that she works for. What did he just say? You will be blessed above all the peoples. Wait, if I said her name, you wouldn't know her. She ain't nobody famous. She's just a young lady that goes to work. She got kids and a husband and a life. And, you know, she's just the covenant's coming to pass in her life. Wait, all the way from Abraham. All right? Watch this. All the way, I'm going to turn back here. All the way from Abraham chapter 12. All right, it's not Abraham, it's Genesis. Abraham was 2,100 years before Jesus. How many years ago is this? That's about 4,100 years ago before us. Here this young lady in Midland, Michigan, or I don't know where she's from. I think she's in Midland. Here she is, not a Jew, but has received the blessing of Abraham because she's walking with God. And she was just named as set above 8,000 employees in the company. Now, she's not going to go in there and say, all of you bow to me, bow the knee, long live the beautiful young lady. No, it's just God's word coming to pass. Verse 15, the Lord will take away from you all sickness. Do you see that? The Lord will take away from you all sickness. Do you see that? The Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on those who hate you. Pastor, does that mean the people that hate the Jewish people right now are having diseases laid on them? Yes, it is exactly what that means. He's the faithful God who keeps covenant. We just read it over there in chapter 9. I saw another report this week of enemy combatants saying, yeah, we aim at Israel. And as soon as we shoot the rocket, it falls off in the wilderness.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Our guns jam. Our grenades don't go off. The RPGs don't work. Why? Because of poor manufacturing? Well, I don't know. Maybe. But most of all, because God said, I'm going to bless and take care of my people, Israel. Keep going. I will make it to verse 26. What time is it? Is it actually really that time?
It actually really is.
Are you serious? We've been on for 47 minutes. According to Blog Talk Radio? Yeah, 47 minutes. Time flies when you're having fun. Here we go. Here we go. I'm going to read 15 again. The Lord will take away from you the sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. And you shall destroy all the peoples whom the Lord your God delivers over to you, and your eye will have no pity on them, nor shall you serve their gods, for they will be a snare to you. If you would say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? Look what it says. You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. Let's put that into today's world, you and me. We're not going around destroying people. You and I in the New Testament have the responsibility to bind the demonic effect in people's life because we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Situation like Israel's in today, where they have been savagely attacked and brutalized by wicked people that don't even care. They're in a war. They're not a nation. Marauding, wicked, vile,
yeah.
Murderous people.
Yep.
Well, then Israel has a responsibility to wipe them out.
Yes.
What? You came in and terrorized our nation and you disturbed our peace. We wasn't messing with you. Matter of fact, Israel provided so much for Gaza that it's, anyways, enough of that. I'm in verse 17 again. If you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them. For you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. The great trials which you saw, the signs and wonders, the mighty hand, the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out, so shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Be afraid from whatever God's given you an assignment to go do. Don't be afraid of it. And get yourself focused so you can get it done. All right? The Lord your God will send the hornet among them. Until those who are left who hide themselves from you are destroyed. So they're going to hide, and God's going to send a hornet into that place where they're hiding, and they're going to run out of the building, and you got them. See, that's why so many Hamas people are surrendering to Israel right now. Why? They don't want to live that life anymore. I don't believe these people that are surrendering are double agents. Now, some of them might be. But the majority of these men, you know where they are today? They're in a prison in Israel with great care and food and water
and safety.
Yeah. And nobody's trying to kill them. And now they're in there and the Israel people are saying, wait, we want to treat you right. We want to treat you right, but you can't kill us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like America. We want to treat you right. But if you're coming here to kill us, you can't do that. You can't do it. 21. I'm just going to have to take this video down and then make about 5 videos that try to really be what this video is. All right? You should not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. The Lord your God will drive out these nations before you little by little. You will be unable to destroy them all at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. The Lord is going to inflict defeat upon them. The Lord is. He will deliver their kings into your hand, and you will destroy their name from under heaven. No one shall be able to stand against you until you've destroyed them. You shall burn the carved images of their God with fire. You shall not cover the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourself, lest you are snared by it, for it's an abomination to the Lord. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to the destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. Now, I got it done. Today's message is this. He is the faithful God. He is. Who keeps covenants. Say it with me. God is the faithful God.
God is the faithful God.
And he keeps all covenants.
And he keeps all covenants.
That he has made with us.
That he has made with us.
This is why we live in Deuteronomy chapter 28. That's why we live there. This is his covenant with us. Chapter 28, verse 1. It shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of your Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. What happened to that young lady? And all these blessings shall come upon you, overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. How many blessings? All of these blessings will come on you. Watch this. It will come on you. And then here's you walking down the road, overtake you. Means it's going to come from behind and overtake you. And this blessing is going to steamroll you. All right? And you obey the voice of the Lord your God. I love this. Blessed shall you be in the city. We're in the city right now. Blessed shall you be when you're in the oil field, the farmer's field, the factory field, wherever you are. Verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of your body. That means you and your kids. The produce of your ground. That's your business, your job. The increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and table. When you're cooking, you'll be blessed. I happen to be sitting right now down here by our pans. This is Sister Leanne's lid for when she's cooking. All right. I mean, I cook every now and then, but the world can only handle so much of my cooking. But beautiful, nice, beautiful cookware. And every time she picks it up, blessed is the basket and the kneading bowl. And if I had the other,
no, not that.
Back in the day, us, the kids, we could take those two aluminum lids and, yeah. You know, like, I don't know.
Symbol.
You know, yeah. You might do that with these glasses. But anyways, your basket and your kneading bowl. He's going to bless your food. That's why I say church gatherings and probably the best. Why? Because they're blessed when the person made it. It's blessed again when we eat it. And that's why so many church people are overweight, because their food's so blessed. The Lord will cause your enemies to come out against you, to flee before you, to be defeated before your face. They will come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. You want to say it with me? Enemy, you are defeated.
Enemy, you are defeated.
Now flee before me seven ways.
Flee before me in seven ways.
The Lord will command a blessing on you and your storehouses. Do you have any? Into all to which you set your hand. I've set my hand to this group of believers. I've set my hand to YouTube, Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. The Lord's book verse says, he will command a blessing on all to which you set your hand. All y'all are included in that. All right? He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you a holy people to himself. He's doing it. Yes, you're going to have to study. But while you're studying, he's going to open up your eyes. He gives you eyes to see and ears to hear. And then he said in Matthew 13, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Will you enter in and study? or will you be distracted by the things of this world and never come to an understanding of what the Word of God is actually saying to you? Because His blessings on it. Just as He swore to Himself, swore to you to, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God, walk in His ways. 10, all the peoples of the earth shall see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they'll be afraid of you or have great respect for you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods, plenty of goods, plenty of things that are good in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord your God swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens to give rain to the land in its season and bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Literally, as believers, we're supposed to be so rich the whole nation can borrow from us. I know. Some of you are like, what do you just say? Well, read the Bible. I didn't put them words in there. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You'll be above only, you won't be beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them in Jesus' mighty name. Now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. As a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. What are you going to do? That means give yourself to this 24/7, 365, enter in, press in, go in, speak the word out loud everywhere you go, speak life to everything everywhere you go and everything you do. Why? Because God is wanting to bless your life abundantly, but He can't do it without your participation. He's not just going to sit in heaven and go, there. That was my choice to bless that person. No, He needs you to get involved, you to read your Bible, you to pray to Him every day, you to talk to God like He's your Father and He's standing alongside you because He is your Father and He lives within you and He will be with you. All right. I'm actually done, but I got a Missouri guy here. Did you see him? There's a whole group of Missouri people back over there. Look at this. Romans or John 14. It'll be real quick because there's a bunch of people that are like, it's like, you know, you mean God's inside of you. Listen, John 14, John 14:16-18. I will pray the Father, He'll give you another comforter, another helper, that He may abide with you. Not He's up in heaven overshadowing you. He's abiding with us forever. The Spirit of truth from the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him and knows Him. Ready? But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Spirit of truth in you. I'll not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Verse 20. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. This is Jesus. So you got the Holy Spirit who comes to live within you. And you got Jesus who's in the Father and you and I are in Jesus. And Jesus just said, and I'm going to be in you. Verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home, New King James, abode, the abiding place in the King James Version. With him. He's in prayer. Quit trying to be religious. Trying to be denominational. Quit trying to be sanctimonious. Walk around, look holy. You change your conversation. I just want to sound like I'm very holy. Just stop it. Just walk with God. He doesn't make you a weirdo. Walk with God. He doesn't make you a weirdo. Maybe I should say that one more time. Walk with God. He doesn't make you a weirdo. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, this is a really good word today. It's worth listening to again. And if you're the first one that listens to it again, and you're like, man, this is good, make sure you go to the beginning and put a timestamp in there. And that way anybody that comes here, you don't have to listen to that first 5 minutes of talking while we're getting everything up. You can go straight to the message and hear the word of God as it is spoken. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Ready? Let's pray. It's been 1 hour and 2 minutes right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless everyone who's within the sound of my voice, whether it's today, tomorrow, or after the rapture. Bless them, Jesus. Help them to know you. Help them to walk with you. Help them, I declare today that you see and you know the truth about what I'm teaching you. Give them revelation knowledge. Give them revelation knowledge that transforms them into mighty powerful member of the body of Christ, walking with you every single day. We pray this, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. And besides that, amen.
Amen.
I just want people to get it. It's not about that church down on the corner. It's about you walking with God. And it's simple. You go to sleep at night, talk to God about how you did today. When you wake up in the morning, talk to God about how you're starting your day. And you will, all of a sudden, you'll begin to start walking in a flow that you didn't realize that was actually God that's leading your life. And you'll begin to trust him. And all of a sudden, you'll be like, you know what? I better go find this Bible I got and maybe get one of them that Pastor's been talking about on the stream and start studying so I know who I am and where I am. This is the greatest part. I'm going to give you what he brings me. But I don't have to go home with you. Why? He lives in you and will be leading you every moment of every day. Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
This is a good word, isn't it?
It is.
Seems to be the word that God's given me that we'll continue to give to you over and over and over and over again, because it's just of this absolute importance. We're getting ready to stand before Jesus like any day.
For any minute.
And you don't want to be left standing on this earth when all of us leave. When all of the influence of good, the church, leaves, this world is going, this world, it's not the earth, not terra firma, the dirt, the world, the system that's in this earth, on this earth, called the world, it's going to get severe real quick. Because all of the influence of good will be gone. Well, but Pastor, we'll still have a constitution. Yeah, but who's leading it? Because everybody in America that was praying, make the Constitution strong, will now be gone. and the righteous influence of a billion people, and the prayers of us, all who are saying, we declare thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven, when that's gone, this place is going to be severe. Pastor, how do I go in a rapture? For those of you that don't even believe in a rapture, you can't read the Bible without knowing you got to be ready. So, even if you don't believe in the rapture, if you're a believer, you know you got to be ready because Jesus said, be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready. So get ready. And even though you don't believe in it, you'll be caught up with us because you're ready. You sound like you really know that this is true. Yeah, there's no question in my mind anymore at all. There's no question in my mind that Jesus is coming and it's going to be real and I'm going to go into rapture, and there's all kinds of references in the Holy Word of God that declare that this is going to happen, and those believers who walk with God every day are going to exit this place, and you and I are going to be walking with him in heaven. I'm going to go to meet him in the clouds, in the air. I love it. And then it says, and so will we always be with the Lord. Don't you want that to be the case about you?
Yeah.
And so you will always be with the Lord. Here we go. I'm going to share my screen. And we're going to receive communion together. You got the words right on the screen so that you can read it right there. And it'll be a blessing to you. Come on, screen. There we go. Let me click one more thing here. There we go. Receive communion with us. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation in just a minute. And when you pray this prayer, if you mean it with all your heart, you will be right with God. 1 Corinthians 11:22. For I receive, everybody just read it together with me right wherever you are. You don't want me to just read it for you. For I receive from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, Jesus' redemptive work until he comes. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. God's love is perfect. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love cast out fear and its torment in Jesus' name. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So today, be made perfect in him, in Jesus' mighty name. The next thing we're going to do is pray the prayer of salvation. We're going to have it right on the screen so that you can just read it with us. Now, it's not just saying the words. It's praying these words out loud to God and meaning them from the depths of your heart. If you will allow us to lead you in this prayer, you will be right with God in the matter of a couple minutes. Here we go. Pray this with us. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16,
I choose to believe
you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day for me. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy. All of your love and righteousness
filling
every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I have been made a new creation in you, Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the Word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people
who will help me know how to walk with you every day.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome. We're glad you're here. I like to say, pause and shout. Why? Because of what's going on the inside of you.
Woo!
That's how I feel every time I pray it. Why? Because I say once again, I receive all of your grace, all of your mercy, all of your righteousness. That's what this is all about. Now, here's some instruction. Your darkness just turned to light. Sin brings death. Death brings darkness. And death brings fear. Your fear will now turn to faith. Why? Jesus is the light of the world. He just came to live in you. He's the author and finisher of your faith. He just came to live in you. He prayed this prayer. Your sins were imputed to Jesus, and his righteousness was imputed to you. You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the Father said, make him one of my kids. And you are an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. Now, I didn't just stand next to the throne in heaven and hear the Father say, make them one of my kids. But it's the principle of the matter. You are now an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Here's some verses. You might say, Pastor, why did you just say that? Well, I heard somebody this week talking, criticizing people like us who say the Father just said this. No, I'm not standing next to the Father when he said that. I just know that somewhere in the born again process, you become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus, and it just happened for you just now. And you can literally say, I'm an heir of God. Here's my email address, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. The website, samueljcottle.com. Like, subscribe, and hit the bell. And join with us in all we do on Facebook, YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, Rumble. And we encourage you to be a part of what's going on in Jesus' mighty name. Well, here we go. Let's receive our communion elements together. Are you ready? Hold up your elements and let's pray this together. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Here we go. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions. There is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ in my community and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus, for your body that's broken and your blood shed in Jesus' mighty name. Pray this with us. I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed, to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father.
By your blood, Jesus,
every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new.
By the blood of Jesus,
I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague, every curse must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged, my robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's receive. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Let's sing this together. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the Jesus. It washes white as snow. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. It washes white as snow. Well, there you go. 1 hour of faith and then communion. Glad to have you with us today. Glad to have you with us today. Yes. And we're here every night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. And we're here in the mornings, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central for our prayer program. We want you to be a part of it as we agree around the world with the believers who are walking with God in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for your faith and your prayers of agreement with us. Our faith this year is everywhere we go, everything we do, let's walk through the open door that's in front of us. It brings God's blessing and abundance into our life to the greater degree which he wants us to have in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This week we're fasting soups and salads, isn't it? That's what it was, soups and salads. All week long.
That's what we're eating is soups and salads?
Yeah, eating. We're eating soups and salads.
So no sweets, no meats,
no sweets, no meats. You be the guide. You let God lead you. But that's our focus. I just do this so that somebody like, I don't have a focus. Well, then have this one. Eat soups and salads this week. And then spend time studying the Word of God. Even if it's ours. And you go back through and listen to these messages. This is good word tonight. We had a good word last night. Good word Friday. We just have good words here. That's what we're doing. We're following the leading of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, our email's there, our website's there, anything we can do to help you walk with God. We're going to help you walk with God. That's our assignment on this earth. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Oh, wait, I got word that the Revelation syllabus are supposed to be here on the 20th. So, when's the 20th?
Saturday. Yep.
Well, that still gives us 10 days in this month. We'll be starting the book of Revelation here real soon, within the next week. And you want to be a part of that. It's going to be a great time. It'll be on Zoom only. All right. Till we see you again, remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God
loves
you.
And Jesus is Lord.